Good morning.
Good morning.
We are halfway through our study and halfway through the book of Colossians. Kind of hard to believe, but hope you have really been enjoying it, that it's been soaking into your heart, that you've been encouraged by Paul's message to the Colossians, as I have been. I thought it might be good just a few sentences at the beginning to review where we've been, because it really sets the stage for where we're going. So just to review a little bit, so far Paul has focused on the incomparable, all-sufficient Christ, the one who's sufficient for our redemption, for our reconciliation, and for our consummation in glory. In chapter 1, he focuses on the worth of Christ and his work. And then in chapter 2, Paul warned the Colossians and us against those who call the all-sufficiency of Christ into question. And we saw the key verse for the book, Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So now we come to chapter 3, and it's kind of a turning point for the book, where we move from the doctrine of the sufficiency in Christ to how we lay hold of Christ's sufficiency to walk out the Christian faith. And Paul tells us that's by setting our minds on the things above and seeking the things above. The discussion leaders meet 15 minutes before 9:30 every week to pray. And someone brought up, and I just wholeheartedly agreed, this is lofty. This is so, you know, we're just looking at four verses, but a lot of things in these verses could seem really theoretical and lofty and hard to connect to our life. I think that's really true. So hopefully this morning we'll begin to touch on that a little bit. And then I hope in your discussion groups that you'll really focus on that. This is not easy. It's why we need to hear these things over and over, because it is kind of the now and not yet of the gospel. We live in the world. So I hope that this will be an encouragement to you all. And as we move into talking about how we walk out the Christian life, how we begin to kind of look at that, and the rest of the book of Colossians will address more parts of that. Just to be reminded, Paul always talks about the indicative before the imperative. The indicative is what Christ has done, what is true about him. And then the imperative is what that means in our lives, how we respond to that. So as we talk about these things, we really want to look and remember the indicative. Let's look at our passage. If you have the handout, I have printed it out on the top. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. As I started to look at this passage, I started to see these words that were contrast. That's why I have color-coded them. And that's the way we're going to approach the passage this morning, is by looking at those contrasts. I think the contrasts kind of paint a complete picture, not a dichotomy, but a balance. So the first one is Christ has raised us from death to life. I'm going to show, I printed some verses there that we'll go through that we've already addressed, just to show how Paul has really presented the gospel in what we've already studied. That we were dead in our trespasses, we were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. He's talking about the mind and the will cooperating in their rebellion against God. I don't know about you, but when I read that phrase, doing evil deeds, I think about evil deeds as terrorists, murder, you know, really big things. But the truth is that if we are not in Christ, that our mind is set against Him. And the things that we walk out, if they are not coming out of a relationship with Christ, not perfection, that those are counted as evil deeds, and that the wages of those evil deeds is death. Under the law, we were subject to the penalty of death. But the truth about most of us, I hope today, is that indeed we have turned from death to life, that we are alive in Christ. If we have received Christ Jesus as Lord, and our passage starts out with if, that really means since. It's not a word of doubt. So since we have received Christ Jesus as Lord, then we have died with Christ in His death. We have participated in that. We've died to sin, and we've died to the world and its regulation. We have died from our previous status into new life. He delivered us from the domain of darkness, and He transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. This morning, that may not feel especially true, but it is nevertheless totally true if you have received Jesus Christ as Lord. We've been transferred to a new land, exchanging the harsh rule of the prince of darkness for the wise sovereignty of God's Son. We're no longer slaves to sin. We've been freed from its power over us and freed from being enslaved by it. So our record of debt before God was nailed to the cross, and all our trespasses were forgiven. He has not only overcome our sin just in a general sense, but He's also put away the guilt and the shame that stem from it. We don't have to walk around punishing ourselves anymore, because we've been reconciled in His body of flesh by His death. We no longer have to perform deeds of the flesh in order to try to earn acceptance. We are in Christ. We're now holy. We're blameless and above reproach before God. And now we are filled in Him. God floods our lives. I loved your prayer this morning, Kelly, of God's incomparable love toward us that He floods us with, and with His power and with His riches, filled to overflowing, so that we lack nothing of Him for ourselves and for our relationship with others. He puts a new heart in us. We're buried with Him in baptism. We're raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God. And we're made alive in tandem together with Him. Through our live faith in Christ, we have been brought into the family of God and have participated in the sign of His covenant with us. We are alive in Him. His life is our life. I really encourage you this week, in the midst of having to live in the world, when you're at a stop sign, when you're in the carpool lane, when you're in line at the grocery store, let your mind go to these truths, just one little kernel, and allow it to begin to transform your heart and your mind. For me, really an encouragement, because we don't often feel these things, but we need to be reminded how true they are and the way that they work themselves out in our lives and the difference that makes. So because He's taken us from death to life, the next contrast, your life is hidden with Christ, and we will appear with Him in glory. When I was about 4 or 5 years old, my best friend was Jill Walkup. She lived behind me, and our dads built these steps over the fence that we could go back and forth. I mean, we were inseparable. And I was the friend who was always trying to do the right thing. And she was the friend who always got us into trouble. So there was one time that we were with her mom at one of her mom's friends' houses. And Jill and I went off into the house somewhere, and we were, I mean, I can still picture this. We were still in this bedroom, and she's like, there are ghosts in here. We have to hide. I was scared to death. I was just scared to death. So she took us in the closet, and we closed the door. I can't imagine how long we were in there. We were in there for a pretty long time. So it was time to go, and her mom was calling for us. And, of course, she couldn't find us because we were in the closet. And I, in my fear, was hiding. But there was another kind of fear that made me hide from the one, her mom, who could help me. So there are different kinds of hiding. Because we have been moved from death in our sin to life in Christ, we can move from hiding from him to hiding with him, to hiding in him. There's another story in the Bible about hiding that we're familiar with. It's in Genesis, Adam and Eve. In Genesis 2, we know that God created Adam and Eve and set them in the garden, and they enjoyed uninhibited relationship with their father. And Genesis 2:25 says, and the man and his wife were both naked and not ashamed. They were not hiding. They were fully exposed, but fully known. Then, of course, the serpent comes, and he talks to Eve. And he places in her heart and in her mind doubt that the Father really loves her. And so she eats of the fruit, and Adam eats of the fruit. Because when you feel less than, when you start to doubt, you start to add more than. So the result in Genesis 3:10, the father goes to look for Adam and Eve and says, where are you? And Adam's response is, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. Sin, guilt, and shame. Well, we also hide in our sin and our guilt and our shame, as if we haven't been forgiven, as if we haven't been set free, because we're afraid of being naked and exposed before God and before others. We long to be known, but we are so afraid of being fully known. And so we add on. When we feel less than, we start to add on more than. We may do it with outward spiritual behavior. We may do it with material things. We may do it with intellectualism. We may do it by putting pressure on our kids to look a certain way. It's about image. It's about our fig leaf instead of transparency. But the good news is that Christ hid on our behalf so that we could stand before him and be naked and unashamed. While we were seeking the things of the earth instead of the things above, Christ left above to come to earth for us. The only one who could stand exposed before the Father covered himself with our sin and our shame so that we could stand exposed before the Father without shame. We have full assurance that we're with him even now, and it's really lofty, but even now where he is seated, because it is finished. And he didn't leave us after that to try and figure the rest out, how to walk this faith out, the what would Jesus do kind of thing. He didn't leave us to do that. He is in us through his Spirit, hidden, so to speak. The same Spirit that has all the treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge is in us. And someday, we will appear with him in glory, no longer hidden. For now, this truth seems hidden, but someday it will appear in full sight. So in the meantime, because we are hidden in Christ, we are free free to turn from the wisdom of earth and to seek and set our minds on the things above. The last contrast. Our hiding can turn to hiding from him, to hiding with him in security. We're free from having to cover ourselves, free to be who we are in him and to others. We can be real with each other. We can show our less than. We're free to stop setting our minds on and seeking out the things of earth. So what are those things? What is he talking about? He's already told us in a few verses in Colossians, the things that shift our hope from the gospel, anything according to the things of human plausible arguments that are not of the gospel, and the things that give an appearance of wisdom but promote self-made religion, relying on self. We are free to set our minds and seek out the things that are above. So what are those things? Well, this is an example. I put on your handout Philippians 4:8, and I had memorized this years ago in the New American Standard, so that's the version I put. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And I put up there THRPL, THRPL. That's my little, I don't know, what do they call that when you do the, what is it?
Acronym.
Yeah. Thank you. For true, T, honorable, H, right, R, pure, P, lovely, L, THRPL. So again, when you're just at a pause moment, I know it's crazy, but it works because I remember it years later. Hopefully you'll remember that. And at times when you are just in the bog of setting your mind on the things of earth, that you'll remember THRPL and you go, okay, what's true? What's honorable? What's right? What's pure? What's lovely? Because often what's true can be hard things. It's not that we put our blinders on and we live a life that's a bubble life. That is not, that's really not what Christ came for. We're to be in the world, but not of it. And so, obviously, the things that are most THRPL are the things of Christ. So I hope that's just a little help for you that you can take with you to remind yourself. So what happens when we do seek the other things of the world? What are the things of the world? What are the things of earth? Because that's also something that, I mean, we're in the trenches, and especially you all that have kids and family situations. I mean, I know some of you, you know, you're dealing with parents, you're dealing with children, you're kind of that sandwich. It's hard. Our marriages are hard. Our relationships are hard. I mean, life, one of my kids had a teacher that in fourth grade used to tell all her students, life is hard and then you die. I'm like, well, aren't you special? we have a hope tagged onto that, but life is hard. Life is hard. So what's he talking about? I mean, we have to deal with the world, but it's the things that compete with the gospel. It's the things that we try to add on to the gospel. So I want to clarify that. But if you're like me, especially in times when I feel less than, I find myself adding on more than. So what happens in those times? What's true in those times? When we act as we haven't been given new life, or when we really don't believe that we have security, when we doubt the sufficiency of what Christ did on our behalf so we could be hidden in him, what about when we seek the byproducts of the gospel more than the gospel? In those times, your being hidden in Christ is no less true for you. We may not feel it. We may not be experiencing it at that time. But He does not move. We may move. He does not. When we hide out of fear, He pursues us. When we set our mind on the things that are not according to Christ, He sets His mind on us. And when we don't seek the things that are above, He still seeks us. So since we have died with Christ, and since we have been raised with Christ, let us walk in the freedom we've been given, free from the things of this world that so easily entangle us, freedom to seek the things that are above where Christ is, because we are indeed hidden in Him. Let me pray. Lord, I picture being hidden as a little child in my mother's skirts, secure and near and close. And I know that we are hidden, in a sense, in your skirts. May you really prick our hearts with this. May it give us security. May we feel your peace. And may we hide with you instead of from you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed to go to your groups.